You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. And now it's time to take what we have just learned in our study of Scripture and apply it to our lives. Little Worldview Watch time. Making our Christianity applicable, not by so much what we do, but by how we believe, what we believe, and kind of interpreting the times with what we believe. To do that, we're going to be looking at another article from the April edition of the Lutheran Witness. This one's called Strong to Save. It's by Pastor Gary Schultz. He is the cantor at Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Terre Haute, Indiana. And he has this article is really about the value of hymnody, the value of liturgy and the hymns, these confessions of the faith from of old, to encourage us in our walk now. Pastor Schultz, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So your article spent some time talking about the life of Gerhardt and how this great hymn writer of the Lutheran faith lived, well, I'd say less than the victorious life. You want to tell a little bit about his story?
Yeah. Pastor Gerhardt was no stranger to difficulty and suffering. He was living during the period of the 30 Years' War, and he had various plagues going through his town that he had to deal with. He also suffered the loss of his wife and four of their five children. And so very difficult times would be difficult to understand fully the difficulties that he faced. One of the things also doctrinally that he faced was, as a pastor, he was caught up in religious tensions between the Lutheran and the Reformed disputes in that time, and his refusal to sign the edict from one of the electors in Germany at that time forced him from his parish as the pastor. So he went through a lot of different suffering in his life.
I don't think people can quite imagine what it would be to lose several children, a wife, and then be kicked out of your church. It's unbelievable. And then not to blame God for this, but to continue to write hymns about God being our great hope. You mentioned in the article Gerhardt's Easter hymn, Awake My Heart with Gladness, and the various victories it sings of, which aren't these temporal things, right? But the victory over the devil, the victory over sadness, the victory over the world, and he who is strong to save has triumphed over the grave. Talk more about that.
Yeah, that's one thing we notice. We often talk about the enemies that Christians face, the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. And those things really come out in Gerhardt's hymn, his Easter hymn, Awake My Heart with Gladness. And that goes back to all of his hymns, how he is able to connect the victory of Christ over the suffering that we face in life. And that gives Christians a way to be thankful and hopeful and trusting in our Lord in the midst of the difficulties that they face.
And you say that on his tombstone, there's this engraving. I'm not sure I'd want this on my tombstone because of what it meant my life was like. A theologian sifted in Satan's sieve. Can you unpack that a little bit for us?
Yes. Well, one of the things that Lutherans focus on is that prayer, meditation, and temptation make a theologian. And that is certainly reflected in Gerhardt's life. And so, yeah, that phrase that's kind of describes his life, a theologian sifted in Satan's seed. He saw that all the troubles that he faced were actually a way of testing, and he was able to, through that difficulty, see God's continued provision, even in the midst of great loss and sadness.
It calls to mind Jesus' words to Peter on the night when he was betrayed, that Satan has wanted to sift you like wheat, right? But I've prayed for you that you might endure. That there's sort of the purifying of the dross of our unbelief through this suffering. And I love that you mentioned there prayer, meditation, and temptation, oratio, meditatio, and tentatio. We try to do a little bit of that every day here on His Time. You also mentioned the article that one of his most famous hymns, probably the one most people recognize, is A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth, kind of a great Holy Week and or Good Friday hymn. Either I'll give your pick here. Either just talk a little more about the value of that hymn and its place in the history of the Lutheran Church, or are there other hymns that you didn't mention in the article by Gerhard that we should maybe take a look at?
Well, yes. Various sources I've looked at say that Gerhard wrote between 123 and 139 hymns.
Goodness.
So our hymnals only include a small portion of that. But one thing that really stands out in A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth is the stanza where he says, O love, how strong you are to save. You lay the one who into the grave who built the earth's foundation. And that is really significant to think about the Word of God who created everything being placed into a tomb, in the earth, in the foundation of the earth. He who made that very earth. And so that is really quite an amazing line. And every time that it's sung, it just causes one to wonder and give thanks for Christ's work for us.
It's unbelievable, really. No, please keep going.
Well, another one of Gerhard's hymns is based on a medieval hymn that was attributed to Bernard of Clairvaux, and that is O Sacred Head Now Wounded. And again, that's another hymn that many Lutherans are familiar with, and it shows Gerhard's kind of how he is less didactic than perhaps the hymns of Luther and other reformers, and kind of moves into more devotional type of hymn, more individual application that's not subjective or just emotional. But it really connects the teachings of the scriptures to individual Christians and their lives. So I think those hymns, which many Christians have sung in the last few weeks of Holy Week and at the end of Lent, are really some of Gerhard's great treasures to the church.
Now, we live in a time where people sometimes will say that hymns aren't really a treasure of the church at all. They're kind of in the way. It would seem people think that. Can you talk a little bit about how maybe what at first doesn't appear to be a treasure, maybe to our passion or to our flesh, really holds some gold deep within it, and we ought not to abandon it too quickly?
Right. For many people, learning about the hymns of the church and learning to appreciate them is something that might take some effort because it might not come natural. And it's something that we have to focus on in teaching the children and youth of the church to appreciate how these hymns are able to convey doctrine to us and give us an opportunity to confess the faith. And so it's something that is kind of learned and something that we have to work at, but it's well worth it in the end. And these hymns provide for us a lifetime of a way to remember the scriptures and the teachings of the scriptures.
Is there a way besides just singing hymns in church that you would recommend people, you know, try to make use of hymns for?
Well, certainly hymns are available to be used for daily prayer at home. And our hymnals that our church has produced have always been intended for use not just in church, but also at home. And so I think that's a great opportunity for daily prayer in Christians as they read prayers and the scriptures at home to encourage, as you encourage singing of the psalms, but you also encourage singing of the hymns of the church. And that these hymns then provide a great variety as you go through the church year and the different seasons. And in the case of Pastor Gerhard, he has hymns that are written for various seasons throughout the year and various times and situations in life. And so there's really an endless treasure for opportunity to use these hymns at home with family.
Now, you mentioned there just a moment ago singing, and I don't want to knock that because I love to sing myself, but I also know we live in an age where not everybody has been trained in music and where a number of, particularly probably fathers, feel uncomfortable singing. And so what would you recommend for them? Say, how would they use these hymns in the home if they don't know the tune or if they're a little bit afraid to just kind of lead the family in song?
Well, there's always opportunities to find recordings of these, either just the basic hymns being sung or choral settings or performances of sacred choral work, but also to use the hymns as a poem. So if you're unable to sing it, to simply read it. And I mean, that's one other way that, hymns can be used in the home if people are uncomfortable or unfamiliar with singing.
And now let's kind of shift the direction a little bit here. You are a pastor, you're ordained, you're allowed to preach, and yet you serve as a cantor. That might not be a term that is familiar to everybody who's listening. Can you talk a little bit about what it means, both historically and in the present, to be a cantor in a church?
Yes. Throughout the history of the church, the cantor, which that term derives from the same word as chanting or singing, the cantor is one who leads the church's music. And so from the very earliest days of the Lutheran Reformation, Martin Luther, for example, had a cantor in Johann Walter, who was the first cantor of the Lutheran Church, who worked with Luther to write the melodies for some of his hymns and other musical arrangements. And then perhaps the most well-known cantor is Johann Sebastian Bach, who kind of represents the high point of Lutheran music. So in today, cantors throughout the church in our synod today are primarily responsible for composing and arranging music, playing the organ, directing the choir, working with instrumentalists, perhaps teaching hymns to Sunday school, introducing new hymns with the adults and Bible class or other opportunities, working with instrumentalists and things like that.
So some other places may be called a director of worship, cantor being just a bit more of the historic name. And you know, you're being ordained yourself, you don't have to be a pastor to be a cantor, but I guess it can't hurt either.
That's correct. One of the kind of ideas behind the cantor is that whether ordained or not, that the cantor has received some theological training also, so that because of the emphasis, for example, where Luther says, I place music next to theology and give it the highest praise, that the cantor is also aware of our doctrine and is seeking to use music to convey that to people in our parishes.
My guest, Pastor Gary Schultz, cantor of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Terre Haute, Indiana. Thank you for being with me today, Pastor Schultz.
Thank you.
You know, every morning here on His Time, we start off with our oratio. We start off with our prayer. And part of our prayer every day is I read you one hymn. And as you know, if you've been listening to that first hour, you know that there's almost nothing better. I mean, the confessions are pretty good. The scripture, the Psalms, it's all really good. But that hymn, that text, that poetry uplifts the spirit in ways that are just unbelievable. There's no better way to practice your faith, to develop your worldview, than to keep your nose in that hymnal and to get your kids in it as well. Meanwhile, we're out of time here, and universe, I got to remind you, our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. You listen to His Time. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and whether or not He comes back today or tomorrow, I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.